And you did present a patient of yours actually who had, I think it was partial involvement of one node, had a low recurrence score, and you skipped the chemotherapy. And that also gets into this issue of younger versus older patients and the question about chemotherapy. Can you kind of relate, kind of again, what we've learned over this past year, A, about intermediate scores and B, about clinical high risk and how age seems to matter, at least at this point?
Right. So there have been a couple of retrospective analyses that have specifically looked at this question of age. In the TAILORx trial, Joe Sparano obviously led a massive effort to compare endocrine therapy alone or endocrine therapy plus chemotherapy for women with intermediate range recurrence scores between 11 and 25. The take-home top-line message was very clean in the original New England Journal of Medicine publication in 2018. There's no benefit for adding chemotherapy to these groups. When they looked at subgroups of patients, particularly the women who had scores, say, of 16 to 20 or 20 to 25, and who were less than age 50, it looked like there might be some benefit to chemotherapy on the order of a few percentage points. So the question has been, is that because of the direct effects of chemotherapy, or is that because of the fact that these are premenopausal women and that chemotherapy actually renders them postmenopausal? And Joe has presented some data in follow-up at the ASCO 2019 meeting and then again published in the New England Journal of Medicine on what the most likely answer to that question is. And I will tell you, my interpretation of that data is that the entire effect is likely due to ovarian suppression. I say that because when you look at the subgroups of women by age, here's how it breaks out. If the woman is less than age 40, if you really think chemotherapy is critical, you might say, well, that's the group that would get the most benefit for chemo. But actually, in that cohort, there was really no benefit for adding chemotherapy, presumably because most of those women do not go into menopause with chemotherapy. And by contrast, as women age in the 40 to 45 age group and then in the 45 to 50 age group, and they are more likely to go into menopause with chemo, you see that there is an increasing role for chemotherapy as you go from 40 to 45, closer to 50. I think the only plausible explanation for that is that it's because of the effects of ovarian suppression. And finally, if you look at the handful of women who were younger than age 50 but already in menopause in the TAILORx trial, again, zero benefit for chemotherapy. So I think the hypothesis that explains all this most readily is that you're seeing the effects of chemotherapy on ovarian function, and you can achieve that without pushing the patient to treatment with chemotherapy.
So does that mean your preferred recommended approach is usually endocrine therapy or ovarian suppression?
Right. So again, we're talking about women scores 11 to 25 and in the TAILORx trial, node negative patients. If they are premenopausal and if they had higher end scores, 20 to 25 in particular, I often think about adding ovarian suppression to their endocrine therapy. You can pair that with either tamoxifen or an aromatase inhibitor. And I think you would achieve whatever marginal benefit you might realize with chemo. The downside, of course, is there's a lot more symptomatology with ovarian suppression than with tamoxifen alone in these women. And you have to both explain that to women and then manage their symptoms as best one can if you push them towards ovarian suppression.
It is interesting, though, that because really it's only been maybe a year and a half actually that we've had these data that we're talking about, at least the original intermediate data, how it's been sort of sifting out in people's mind. You know, what you just said, I don't know that you were saying that a few months after we first saw the data, but I think as it's evolved and it's been discussed, and it sounds much more pro-ovarian suppression than, you know, I think when we first saw the data.
Our own take has been pretty much along those lines since the subset data were presented in the original paper.
But I mean, clinically, you've been doing.
Yeah. I think ovarian suppression is a very useful tool for premenopausal women. So in a lot of stage two and three ER-positive breast cancers, irrespective of whether they get chemotherapy, if those patients remain premenopausal, I'm often inclined to think about ovarian suppression, especially in node-positive breast cancer.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
What's new here also is at the San Antonio meeting, Fátima Cardoso from Portugal presented a similar analysis from the MINDAC trial, where they looked at the overall result for women who had clinical higher risk, genomic lower risk cancers but were premenopausal. And in that space, what was interesting is that they actually saw a whiff of benefit for chemotherapy again, 2-3% difference in outcome. But again, the thinking is largely along the lines that probably represents the consequences of ovarian suppression from chemotherapy more than chemotherapy alone.
That's really interesting.